as far as everyone was concerned.
Want a motion to accept?
Yes, let's have a motion to accept. And then I guess if anybody has problems with this, they'll voice it. Sure, motion to accept.
I'll second that.
Okay, everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the ayes have it. Let me see. I am still looking.
Want an email to you?
This is embarrassing. No, I've got it here. Let's see. It's in my folder that's called CAC meeting agendas. This is really embarrassing that I can't find it. Yes, somebody can send it to me if they want. Or somebody else can run the meeting if they want. So one of the things that I didn't put on the agenda, but we probably need to talk about. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I've got it. We're good.
You do. All right.
Yes. Embarrassing. So let's. One thing that I want to talk about is I think that we should put it up to the group as far as who's chair. I'm not necessarily chair. So I wrote an agenda, but would we like to entertain something as somebody else? Would anybody else like to take a turn at being chair or... Michael saying no, Brish shaking her head. David, you look pretty enthused.
No, I nominate you to return as chair.
Second.
In favor. You do a great job, Hillary. Thank you so much.
Well, okay. I'm just gonna put it out there. I'm as I said the other day in a different meeting. I'm probably the least qualified of all the people on the CAC as far as environmental education goes or conservation education. But if you feel that it's working and we're keeping this moving forward in an organized sort of fashion, and then fine, if that's how you feel. I just want to put it out there. I'm very open to other people taking on the role, and we can leave it at that.
I personally don't think that you know, sort of technical expertise is the most important thing. I frankly think you do a great job of like holding this ship together. So, and I kind of think that's the main task.
Well, I remember when Marie said at one time, Hillary, if you can write an agenda and stick to it,
right, you're right.
okay. So, well, I just wanted to bring up that topic. Okay. And so I guess we don't really need to vote on anything, or do we? Do we have to make this official?
I don't think. Is it an annual or is it just...
Well, Linda suggests that we do, and I'll go along with that.
Fine.
So I move we appoint Hillary Hillman for another term as chair of the CAC.
Second.
I'm going to recuse myself. Do you want to vote?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hillary.
Sure. Even though I can't keep track of my own agenda. So did we have a Climate Smart report from either Tom, Rich, or Michael? And I think that Tom's not on tonight. Tom's not here. Rich or Michael, any?
I don't have anything right now.
Okay. You know, I'm sorry. There's another thing that I should have put on the agenda. that is that Tom DiPietro let me know that Nathan Woodhull, who had corresponded with us after our last meeting, wrote a letter and he would like to become part of the CAC, and he is with us here tonight, and he is going to become a member of the CAC. That's going up to vote with the Common Council next week. Or, well, no, I guess it goes before the Common Council next week, and in 2 weeks they'll vote on it. So, Nathan, would you like to introduce yourself to us? I mean, we've read from you, but we haven't seen you.
Hello, I'm Nathan. Hello, everyone. Yeah, so I guess I'm excited to see which ways I can help, if any. I have a lot of passion for the work that you all have been doing, especially around climate stuff and how that sort of intersects with the built environment. And have some very old solar industry experience that maybe will be helpful on that sort of work. And although not for a long time have I been in that industry. And yeah, excited to see how I can be helpful and collaborative and lend a hand wherever it can be most useful.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome. And we'll all, you know, hopefully someday we'll all meet in person. So, the other thing is, Britt had pulled together some initial overview about the concept of a city parks department, and Britt might want to speak to that. I hope that everybody got that document that Britt started. It's I don't know if everybody present knows that at the, a recent Common Council meeting, I think it was a Common Council meeting, that the superintendent of DPW, Rob Perry, seemed to say, please take the trees off my hands, or something to that effect. And so we're starting to look at ways to how we could create a parks department. And one of the important things, and maybe Tom DiPietro can speak to this, is I think to create a new department in the city, there will need to be a referendum on a ballot. Is that correct? On the November ballot?
I'm not sure. It depends. Referendum is if there's a change in the structure of power. So I'm not sure whether that qualifies for that or not. It's worth looking into. Rich, you seem to have, except no one can hear you.
You're muted.
Sorry. But didn't the seniors department just create their own new department?
Good point. Yeah. So I guess it wouldn't require a referendum then.
Right. So
yeah, it's sort of similar, except that. Yeah. Okay.
That's good. That makes it easier.
Except didn't involve taking power away from anyone. Well, it sort of did.
It does sort of, and it could end up needing to carve it a budget too.
Well, definitely.
I don't think the city charter actually, I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, what it says, which departments are which, you know, I don't know, I could be wrong.
You could be, but.
also, power, what if it's lateral change? So.
No, this is, it's not worth speculating. I'll just ask our attorney.
Right. I think we're trying to flesh out an outline and just sort of come up with some kind of plan. And obviously, right, there are lots of of it'll probably need to go to the legal committee. It would need to be discussed with DPW and Peter Bajano and Rob Perry and Lee. You know, so there are a lot of steps. So Britt, I'll let you talk about what you found so far.
Yeah. So an overview of what I found is it's sort of a brain dump of a roadmap of possibly just gathering information of how we could move forward. So I'm happy to share this Google Doc with anyone on the call that would like access to it. I will give you editing privileges unless you're on CAC. But how I started was trying to understand what does DPW currently allocate towards parks. So in a meeting, I think Rob had said it's 130,000. And when I looked at the budget, you can download these off the City of Hudson's website, it's about $116,000. And I mean, some of these numbers are in some ways a little tough to understand because, you know, it's like 2,000 in equipment. That's not to say they don't use equipment from other departments. So I just think we take a lot of these numbers and this information with a grain of salt. So then I started to think about, like, what is the scope of work that would be part of a parks department versus, you know, DPW, and what would we take, what responsibilities would we carve out? And I think this was like, my thinking would be maintenance of all the grounds, whether it's mowing and leaf litter. It probably would include tree care and tree maintenance, so an arborist. It would involve new tree plantings and initiatives for new plantings and sustainability, new shrub and perennial plantings. We currently don't take care of our mid canopy or low canopy layer. Maintenance of site furnishings, replacement and repairs. So site furnishings include trash bins, recycling bins, benches, picnic tables. Maintenance of hardscape within the park. So this would be, you know, pavement, whether it's poured in place concrete, asphalt, unit pavers, you know. This, I think, should also include street trees, planting and pruning. So this could possibly tie into this, like, tree ordinance thing. It would also include playgrounds and play fields, sport courts. And this includes equipment replacement, safety surfacing, repairs, and making sure things are, you know, code compliant. Because at the moment, you know, who's making sure that we are keeping these things up to date. It would also include, you know, the big ones that we know of: Oakdale, the cemetery, the 7th Street Park, Henry Hudson Park, Prominent Hill, but there's also a couple of, like, little pocket parks in town. The Mexican Radio Park isn't totally a park, but it's like a great sitting space and has incredible opportunity to become something wonderful if there was maybe some visioning to it. It would also include water features, so fountains, splash pads, and then I think it needs to have someone that's like has long-term vision for sustainability within the City of Hudson and the surrounding open space that might not necessarily be a park, but it's still recreation and open space. And I was starting to think about, like, what kind of crew would you need to maintain this department? You'd need someone who has horticulture background, or an arborist, trained staff, landscapers. I think landscaping is a skill and we can't devalue manual labor. And I think it takes training to know how to plant a tree, as anyone who came to Arbor Day knows. there's about 1 to 2 full-time staff, I was thinking, at least, and then some sort of commissioner or somebody that has the leadership and the visioning, and possibly some seasonal part-time hourly workers. And I'll get more into this, why I think this is necessary. Equipment wise, you certainly would need a vehicle. So you're going to need some sort of pickup truck or large vehicle to be able to transport the soil and materials. You need mowers, pruners, blowers, shovels. A lot of this equipment, obviously, DPW has. So there could be a sharing program. There's no reason why this equipment has to be siloed and the departments can't work together. And then you'd also need some sort of allowance, like you'd need an allowance for new plantings with its replacements or new initiatives, new soils and remediation. Would we be composting possibly? You definitely would need an allowance for site furnishing. You know, we don't even have recycling bins in town on the streetscapes. So that type of thing, and replacement for play equipment. So play equipment is incredibly expensive. You know, you'd have to budget that in long term. Okay, so then I started to think about the comparatively surrounding river cities or river towns. So Kingston has $1.1 million that they allocate to their parks department. It's a nice budget. Kingston's a bigger place, but it's a really nice budget. And I pulled it off of their budget that you can download. Then I also looked at Troy. Also has $1.1 billion for their parks department, much bigger city. It's still a nice, generous budget. So who's tiny and has a tiny budget? Beacon. Beacon is a littler budget. But what does Beacon do? They maintain four parks, and they have a park. It's called Parks and Recs, but just their parks budget. They're able to separate the parks number. I couldn't pull their budget numbers off their website, but I talked to Michael Price, who is their parks commissioner there. And so his scope of work includes maintenance of the property, salary for two full-time workers, and summer salaries, which he called summer kids. And then he also has money for cleaning. He has a clothing allowance. I should write the word allowance instead of alliance. Gas, tools, repairs, supplies, tree planting, and service. So his budget for Beacon is $215,000. So even double what Hudson has. So, you know, Hudson's number, I don't think takes into account the salary of Rob at the moment, you know, and Rob would be the role of the visioning person. Beacon's number also does not take into account Mike or Mark Price's salary. So this is just the number for the workers and the allowance. It doesn't include the like commissioner level number. So I think these numbers can help inform whomever actually develops this budget. I don't think it might, it's probably not going to be me or the CAC. It's probably going to be a combination of Tom and Heather and Common Council. But at least this information is available for you guys to hopefully take forth and think about how to do this. I'm seeing a chat. Thanks. So if you guys have any questions, I researched this pretty thoroughly. And I also, as you all know, am a landscape architect, and I design public parks for a living across the United States. I don't just work regionally in, you know, the New York Northeast. So I have a good understanding of the protocols and the funding, and also my principal at my firm ran capital design at New York City Parks for 10 years. So parks are a big deal in my life. So if anyone has any questions, please let me know. And no, Art, I don't want to be the commissioner. I'm a dirt worker. I'm private sector only. I don't have it in me for the pitchforks that would involve working for the city government. You guys are more thick-skinned. So any questions or comments about Parks Department or like the research I found, let me know.
Yeah, I actually do have a question, only because, you know, I'm so aware of Hudson's ever-strapped position. And, you know, you look at $115,000, like, how much more money are we going to get for something like this? And, you know, I was just wondering, since, I mean, you have experience both here and in New York City, like, what is the relationship between New York City and, like, the Prospect and Central Park Conservancies? And, you know, just how much, they do a lot of heavy lifting in those big parks, and I'm just wondering how that works, and whether, like, that can't be replicated here.
Well, they can and can't. So to some extent, that's already happening at 7th Street Park, or right. Fox is doing it. So in New York City, Central Park and Battery Park have two of the largestly funded conservancy programs. So they do have private funding to supplement New York City Parks funding, and that's through donations. And so that is somewhat gathered through, you know, the ladies' luncheon that they have every spring, hosted by Lyndon Miller in the conservatory garden, where the lovely ladies, you know, pay a fee, put on their hats, and donate. Hudson certainly has a population that could be a donation class, we could say. That's one option, but it does have to be funded within government, and, you know, these cities make it a priority. So if we say sustainability and the future of our parks is a priority, it it has to be kind of carved out from other areas. There is some overlap, certainly with DPW. There's some overlap with like child education and playgrounds. But yeah, funding's a tricky part. But conservancies, which are like nonprofit organizations, certainly can support the funding, but the armature of the funding comes from the city government.
Yeah, I know we had a Parks Conservancy group kind of start up.
They are, and they help support Arbor Day.
Right. So I'm just wondering, I remember in the earliest days I went to a couple of meetings. I'm just, curious how, robust that entity is and whether it can be more robust or, I don't know.
Yeah, and some of that's like community engagement, like, I'm from Connecticut, and so the garden party club scene in Connecticut is a really big deal. Like, I'm from Litchfield County, but like in Greenwich, obviously the garden club ladies, they're a big circuit, and they do a lot of funding, and they spend a lot of time having events to support local parks, and a lot of the local garden clubs will plant the perennials in front of signage and monuments and do town beautification. So a lot of it is like community engagement and how invested the community is in beautification, and that's how these conservancies build up. It's also like, a little bit of elitism of you want to be part of.
Can we democratize that a little bit? Do small donations, big donations, donations of time, volunteering. Does it have to be, a ladies' garden club, or can...
Hudson can make it whatever that fits their flavor, I don't think there's a roadmap that Hudson can't make it this really cool and interesting thing instead of a bunch of, old ladies in hats.
Right.
No offense to ladies that love hats. I love a hat, too, the sun. But I think there's ways to do this that involve community engagement, but I still feel that the armature has to come from city government, and that part is supplemental, and it can be amazing and totally helpful, but you need a strong base from the government.
Did somebody else want to ask something or say something? I'm not seeing hands up, but one thing that I just keep chuckling because I'm trying to picture the Hudson way of doing lovely ladies at luncheon, which is could really be quite fun if it went kind of goofball Hudson, as long as it could raise the money. But I like the idea of democratizing some sort of aspect of that so that it's volunteer work is... Right. Highly valued, because I think that is where we're going to get the most, and getting broad community involvement and buy-in is so important. So I'm wondering if there is a way that one could slowly build a parks department, say in the first year it's taking on just seven tasks. I'm just putting this out there, and it needs a budget of $120,000. And by the third year, it is going to be taking on also playgrounds and new equipment. So now is there a way to grow this gradually?
Yeah, there's totally a phasing plan. So like all of these sectors are in theory covered by the other departments currently. In theory, playground repair and streetscape or like sidewalk repair is covered by another department. So it's not like if you were to start slowly siphoning off responsibilities from one department into Parks Department, it would not be covered. So you could absolutely phase it in and slowly add more responsibility once the Parks Department has proven success. But I think like a sure way for Parks Department to never succeed is to not fund it or not give it staff members that are trained and skilled. And that we just want to make sure like has the support. So I think it's totally smart and wise to, you know, say like, hey, maybe for the first year, the Parks Department just handles the current responsibilities that DPW would carve off. And then they build from there. That's an option. Yeah, the Common Council, I guess, could hash this out of what they think is the best route to.
I'm sure the first couple of years, the Parks Department will be those exact same people who do those jobs. They'll just be in, you know, the doing it as a part of the Parks Department as opposed to part of DPW. And going back to David's point, I mean, I'm the Hudson Parks Conservancy has an MOU with the city, so they can go ahead, they can raise money for parks, and you know, but all of that happens like outside of or in conjunction with city government. I think for the purpose of this conversation is how do we get a city parks department up and running, and then, you know, all those other organizations can raise money on the side separately. But right, how do we move forward with Britt's idea?
I guess we need support from Common Council, mayor. We talked about it a little bit. I don't think anyone doesn't support the idea of making the parks nice. It's, I think, all about money, especially because Rob Perry being open to the idea of maybe taking some stuff off his plate is, I think, important too. So there's lots of conversations that need to happen, but it seems like it has momentum that it could happen. Yeah, Marie?
Sorry. Yeah, I was just wondering. I mean, if in a transition period it stays in DPW, then what changes? I mean, if it remains part of the DPW infrastructure, how do you change that?
I don't think it does remain part of the DPW structure. I think it becomes a Parks Department and it has a Parks. I mean, I call it a director. You know, and that person has long-term visioning and planning and thinking about how to maintain the parks. And that person takes the responsibility from Rob. And when Rich said the same people would be doing it, you know, it could be a one-for-one transfer. You could have an evaluation of skills. That would be up to whomever the mayor or the Common Council selects to run the Parks Department. They would staff it appropriately.
So just as a quick follow-up, is the first step exploring what it would take to get somebody who is a commissioner of a Parks Department to work alongside Rob Perry to begin to build out a Parks Department? It could be a part-time post to begin with. I mean, I don't know how you start Parks Departments, but, you know, so that's just throwing it out there.
Tom, did you want to say something?
Yes, a couple things. First, I think the first step is completely Rob Perry. You have to have Rob Perry explain what could be carved out and how it can be carved out. Secondly, you got to remember, as Rich pointed out, it would still be DPW workers, and DPW workers are civil service. So it's not like you can just start, you know, from scratch with the workers. So these are the two things you'd have to think about as you proceed. I think it'd be better if you approach Rob Perry, by the way, rather than, I mean, it's not really, you know, it's not like the council's looking for more work, you know, like you're going to assign the council. But I think it'd be helpful if you started the conversation with Rob.
Yeah, I'm happy to. I've reached out to Rob. He's been busy, hasn't wanted to have some time, but hopefully in the new year he'll have time.
And we can also look at how the seniors got their department up and running. You know, what did they do? What was the resolution that they passed? What's their structure? Use that as a guideline.
Right. I think that also a conversation with Peter Bajano about, and Rob, But Britt, I'm happy to join you with that, and maybe somebody else from the CAC would be willing to join. I do wonder if when it well, when we can flesh this out further, we'll see. We'll also need, Britt's already mentioned, you know, conversations with Heather and obviously with legal, and start to shape it up. But if the first conversation is with Rob and Peter Pagiano, let's bring it to the table.
Let me point out, in terms of what Rich was saying, establishing the senior really wasn't difficult because there was nothing. With this, we're taking something away from DP, which stands for parks. You know, so it might be a little more difficult. But I'm just...
I thought DPW was for public works.
Good point. Department of Public Works, you're right. And now, I think in the full title, it does say Department of Parks and Public Works. But that's... You're probably right. You're probably right. Good point. Sorry. So
the senior department wasn't a carve-out from some other entity.
Technically, no.
Yeah. So how was the budget put together?
It wasn't. It was overseen by the youth department, but it wasn't. I don't know. I go back to my original comment. We should talk to our attorneys. Yeah.
Right. And like going back to full right, we didn't need an amendment to the referendum to create the seniors department.
That's true. So, definitely.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank
you, Britt. That's a huge first start. Oh, Vanessa, did you want to say something? No, you just wanted to do okay. Okay.
Thanks, guys. If you have questions, you can always ping me.
Okay. The other thing that had come up in the last couple of meetings was what Marie had brought up about outreach to the Common Council and creating a package. Were you able to make any headway on that in the?
Well, I have to admit that I have been diverted to something that became more urgent. In fact, Vanessa. Yeah, well, Vanessa and I spent the day, well, an hour, but have been talking about something that was brought up at the last meeting and has been brought up before, which is a Hudson Earth Day, or because of the time of year and COVID, we actually thought that it doesn't have to be a Hudson Earth Day, but could be a Hudson Earth Festival. And then we started to talk about the fact that there is so much opportunity for outreach on a day like that, or weekend even, that that might be something that the CAC could take on. And Vanessa actually put together a document that I don't know if she wants to talk about, but really began to develop an outline for a Hudson Earth Festival. So I don't know, Vanessa, do you want to just have a go at that and see what the board thinks?
I mean, is this the right time in the agenda? I don't want to throw that off.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's the part about outreach. So I think that it works. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I just, in thinking about the CAC and, you know, I didn't know what the CAC was or what it did or any of that for a long time. And so just in thinking about that, I think we need to do some outreach just to, you know, really put ourselves out there to the community, because, you know, that is what we do, right? We gather a lot of information, we learn about things, and we share information with the public and the Common Council. So I would just like to see some kind of event. I mean, every day is Earth Day when you're, you know, into this kind of thing, but I mean, or if you're just a human on this planet. But I think that it would be really fun. I hear a lot about other groups wanting to do little Earth Day events, and it just dawned on me, like, why don't we just have a festival or a day, and CAC can be the umbrella host. Like, we can organize it, and then other groups in the county, in Hudson, can just kind of plug in. They have their info table, and it's the way for them to, you know, also talk to the community. So it's just like a big info share, is kind of how I envision this. You know,
And
and workshops for adults, arts, and, you know, and like planting seeds, you know, with kids, tours of ecosystems. I don't know. I could see this turning into a really, really fun thing, just in the way that, like, a lot of the other festivals that happen now annually in Hudson were once like a little seedling, and are now kind of you come to expect it. I would love to see the city take a role in that, you know, being CAC, you know. So thoughts, ideas, concerns, questions, I'm all about it.
Well, I've organized one or two events in the city. So the issue is, and I'm just saying, like, I don't want to like put a damper on your idea, but this is part of the logistics of it, is that we as the CAC, the big hurdle is raising money to do these events, because we, you know, it's hard for us as the CAC to just, we can't just take in donations. So we have to go, we had to, like, even doing Arbor Day, we had to go through the HDC to get donations. So yeah, I mean, it could all happen. It's just a matter of it's a little circuitous. We have to go around though.
That was my first key question to actually, how does this even happen without money, right? And how, you know, knowing how the city works and, you know, permissions and everything, that's something I don't know. I'm so new to the CAC. I'm still learning about, do we have funds? What are those funds? What are they allocated for?
So, yeah, we don't have
any. So, you know, we don't have to like figure it out all right here, right now. I'm planting the seed right now of this idea. So hopefully it can take off. But I mean, I can't do this by myself. And Marie and I, can, you know, I'm looking to everyone here on the board, like, you're all going to be there.
Right, like the Oakdale Plunge is done through the Friends of Hudson Youth, and that's how they raise money. So I mean, and then they raise money for programming, and that's how it happens. So we would have to structure something similar to that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it's impossible. No. You know, but it is. It will take planning, definitely.
I mean, I don't know if Vanessa wants to do this, but maybe over the next few weeks before the next meeting, we could begin to sort of work out what our ambitions are and what it would actually cost and how we can begin to raise money for that. Because if we do it in, say, I would recommend not doing it on Earth Day because that's 2 months away. But doing it, if we did it as a festival, doing it in July, you know, June or July, which would give us enough time to plan, I think it is doable.
If you do it in June, you can make it another Arbor Day because the planting window for trees is June 15th through September 15th.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
I think it's great. And I do think that we should be involved in things that with community outreach. Our main thing is advising the Common Council on environmental and conservation issues. But we definitely have to, I think it's in my blood and my personal mandate about creating stewards for the next generation and just to pass the baton, you know, just creating awareness. So I think it's wonderful if, and is there any one or two organizations that you could think of that you could feel comfortable if Earth Day Hudson had a sponsor, like maybe there's a sponsor that would say, we're funding this because we believe in it and, you know, we need to get out all this, you know, climate smart information I wonder if that's a way to go rather than, because when we were doing Arbor Day, there was something very specific, a tree in every ward. And so we had an item to kind of sell, but when it's a general festival, I think it's a little bit harder without a sponsor that understands the overview and says, yes, put it on, I'll help you pay for it, or I'll pay for it.
That's real. I'm definitely not the money person, you know, in this. I'm the community outreach. I have a million of people to invite. I'm going to spread word of mouth, but I'm not the money person on this. So I'm looking for a lot of support. Yeah.
Hillary, can I just quickly answer that? Because we did talk a little bit about that, that we could begin the process of planting this seed and find partners who could potentially do the bulk of the work. So you might have several organizations that are involved in sponsoring and organizing the day. I'm not necessarily saying that all of the moving parts would have to be the responsibility of CAC. I think that would be, they tend to be a lot of planning and work. Mm-hmm. So more of a seed, planting the seed, making it happen,
okay,
I guess, is what we were talking about today.
Yeah.
Yeah. My recommendation, my two cents is we set up a subcommittee for Earth Day here, or whoever wants to be on it. And then people just go and, you know, you meet in a room or wherever. And, you know, I could share old project plans that I've had from former events on tasks and things that have to happen, you know, and then, you know, you just put people in a room and move forward and assign tasks to people. And then you keep meeting.
Sounds great.
Can I add to that? Because I think that's exactly right. And I think that we could do that with other projects too, you know, little breakout groups. And we have talked about doing that. So I really like that idea.
Great. So who wants to be on the Earth Day Festival Committee? Or, I mean, you could think about it. You know, you can think about your
little... I can help with Earth Day.
Cool.
Oh, I'll definitely be helpful, but I don't want to take a lead role at this time. Oh, because there are a few other things. When we get down the list, there are a whole lot of goals for 2022 that we want to divvy up and figure out how we're going to work on all these things. So I'm not going to commit, but I will definitely be a helpful participant.
I'll go to the subcommittee meeting. Let's just set a date and time.
Cool. Excellent. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you. Oh, so then about, outreach to the to the Common Council. Tom, I will create a report, a little introduction of us, and send it to you. And I'll go back to sending you monthly updates for the Common Council to go into minutes or into as meetings. Okay. Does committee reports? Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. And so that'll kind of take care of that part for now anyway. There isn't much to report on urban forestry. Our urban forester did send the draft report. I have not completely finished proofing it. I've been incredibly busy in the last month. It's a very long report. It's 150 pages. Britt, on the other hand, being a quick study, got through it. I should be able to get through it and get that to him by the end of this week. Our urban forester, Miguel Berrios, also has a newborn child as of the 13th, and so he got the report done quickly and had a baby, and it wouldn't be focusing on it at this moment anyway. So there we are on that. That's the urban forestry. Now on our agenda, I listed, I think, everything that we spoke about last month as far as our goals for 2022 go. If there's a way to accomplish this list, we would be... It just would be amazing. But I think that we have to get realistic and prioritize the list of things that we discussed that we wanted to focus on in 2022. And I would love to hear from everybody about where you think the priority should be. And if there's a possibility that you can... with another person on the CAC, maybe help move something forward on the list that you found particularly strikes your passion.
Okay.
Gosh, you're so excited.
Well, do you want to read through the...
Can we have the list? Okay, yeah.
We can do that. We know that, Britt's already gotten a good start on Parks Department, and I think that that's going to be a big one. And so I think that...
I'll say I'll do Parks Department, and then I think I'll try and keep up with the sidewalk committee.
Thank you very much.
I don't know how they continue. Like, I'll touch base with Tom, because I know it was an alderman that is no longer on the common council that was driving one of the sidewalks.
We're continuing the committee, though.
You are? Okay, yeah. Cool. So
it's
all this committee,
it's listed.
Continue.
It's been scheduled.
Okay, cool.
Well, and Tom, is there going to be a continuation of the solar committee?
Not really. Not sure why. You know, the hardscape thing just doesn't, as Rich and I were talking about recently, you know, this came up 3 years ago when we started looking at solar. And, I mean, there's just no developer is really going to put together a hardscape solar project. It's just not economical, as I think Rich will support me in this. Isn't that what we talked about the other day?
Who knows? Things change also year by year.
Yeah, it's true too.
I don't know.
That's true too.
Who knows?
But right now, no, we're not sure.
Okay. So sure. Right now, there's not an ad hoc committee. I don't know. I would like to continue to research this and see if things have developed to try to pull something together. And
then
I
bring
would,
it to us. Yes.
And maybe David would like to continue working on that. I don't know. But I think that because it's an ever evolving kind of industry, I would love to try and stay on top of it and see if we can pull something together to make a proposal to the Common Council to consider.
Absolutely.
And so
what we could do as the CAC, when I was alderman, we passed the unified solar permit so that we now have a form, that was part of the Climate Smart communities thing. So we actually have like a process now. I mean, I don't think anyone even knows about it. I mean, we could put together, you know, as part of the CAC, like an education, maybe make it part of Earth Day that says, you know, if you want to put solar panels on your roof, here's the process. Because it, like Tom said, we are probably not going to find someone who, because it's so, you know, it's so individual, but we can at least educate people about what is already there and how the city can help. And maybe there's grants that are available. Mm-hmm. You have these climate smart people that will come down to us and let us know, hey, you know, apply for these grants.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do that as part of the CAC. It's just part of education with Earth Day.
Right. Well, I think that sounds great. Let's see. Other things we had. I think we definitely need to, and we don't need to do this probably during a meeting, but I'd really like... to get everybody to help me flesh out a very comprehensive list of what we would want to see as a CAC have included in a comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tom?
Just want to let you know, as you probably do know, we got a grant towards a comprehensive plan, but more importantly, I've discussed this with Heather. We can pay for the rest of the plan through our ARPA funds.
Right.
So a comprehensive plan is in the immediate future.
Fantastic. And who's going to be the writer of that? Is that something that an RFP goes out to find a...
Absolutely. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In talking with the... a specialist from Albany Law School that Michelle Tulow brought to town at one point. The RFP is pretty generic. What really matters is the contract you set up with whoever you hire and how they do the comprehensive plan. Because, you know, comprehensive plans are comprehensive plans, more or less. So you'll get, we'll get a lot of interest, without a doubt. It's more important. It's more a question of who we select and what we ask them to do. As they say in the biz, what the deliverables are going to be.
Okay, and so...
So if you're ready, you know, when you're ready, that will be helpful, without a doubt.
Okay, great, great. So what, you know, we talked about aiding in the adoption of the LWRP and figuring out, oh, Marie and Nathan both had something to say or ask.
Yeah, just to follow up on the comprehensive plan. I haven't seen a comprehensive plan in a while. Do they include reviews of existing zoning codes and codes? And it's everything, right?
Yep.
Yep. Okay, cool. That's all I need to know.
Right. Nathan, did you want to say something?
Thanks. Sorry, that was
already. Okay. So, right, the LWRP. This is something I think that Nick brought up at our goals meeting, and I do think that it's something we want to keep on our radar and figure out if there's any way that we can help in that process. I think it's very important to the city to have the LWRP in place.
What is the state of that? Because the LWRP, you know, draft as exists has been around for, what, 11 years or something? And the state has never certified. Like, what do we have to do to get that thing to the state and get the state to approve it? Like,
Tom?
Well, we learned last time this came up, which wasn't that long ago. The main thing we have to redo is the public outreach.
Okay.
That has to be completely redone. Other than that, it's in pretty good condition.
So who's tasked with that, Tom?
That's a good question. No, I don't. That would be a question that maybe Michael Hoffman can help us with, since it really kind of goes to the mayor's office.
Okay.
But doesn't, Michael?
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, and I can't say that I have an answer to that at the moment. I would have to check with the mayor about what he wants to do.
Okay, well, I think the CAC is very interested in doing whatever they can do to aid in the process. And if it's helping out by, you know, setting up chairs for public meetings, we'll do that. Nick Zakos has something to add. Nick, your hand's up. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
Let me mute the other computer.
Us two computers near each other.
Sorry, I'll step away. The LWRP was never submitted to the state of New York. So that's just one quick correction. That was the big confusion that existed for years when a waterfront committee was reformed in, I believe, 2016. We went to the Department of State and they notified us of that it had never been submitted. And Tom is absolutely right that the big component that would need to be redone is the public input. And I believe that the state wants a waterfront committee to be created that then spearheads that whole process. And as far as I remember, they also were clear that it could be a part of a comprehensive plan, and other communities have done that. They've re-upped their comprehensive plan and re-upped or done their LWRP at the same time. So I believe if everybody was on board, when you go looking for a firm to work on your comprehensive plan, that RFP could also say, and finish our LWRP, and try to lump it all into one process.
When you say the outreach hasn't been, or has to be redone, is that because whatever was done is now old?
Exactly. They said, this is great. You guys put together an LWRP that was done the way it was supposed to be done. If you had turned it in, we probably would have approved it, but you never turned it in. But now it's been over 10 years or whatever it is. It was 6 years at that point. You're going to have to go back and redo that. And I believe that it probably still exists in the mayor's office, but we got to the point in that waterfront committee of creating an RFP for firms to help us re-up that. And so that probably still exists somewhere, and I could help Michael Hoffman or the mayor. We got to that point.
Is there a specific reason why it was never submitted and some kind of stumbling block that we can avoid this time?
I think that the usual waterfront controversial issues that are still perennial to this day are what I've heard as being the blame for it never being submitted. But that will, you'd have to go back to, I think, Mayor Hollenbach and Common Council President Moore to get the answer to that.
Right. I mean, going back to my question, who is going to be tasked with this to follow up and moving forward? Because I think it's a little bit outside of the CAC. I mean, we can have this conversation. It's great having this conversation here, but who's going to do the follow-up? Who's responsible? Caroline has a response.
Oh, Sarah?
Yeah, my understanding, because I was on the 2011 group, was it was submitted to Albany and just sat on someone's desk. And it was about 5 years later, someone said, well, why aren't we getting reply? And they go, oh, well, it's just sitting here. So it wasn't, we did submit it.
Wow. Okay, so.
Don Moore has more, but you know, that's water over the dam at this point.
Right, right. So we've got to.
You have to start again.
Right, I guess.
Right, we're going to start again. That's the question. Who's starting? Who's responsible for picking up this ball and running with it?
Yeah, was that a council, mayor's office?
Tom says it's the mayor's office, so I guess that's what it is.
Well, it's for us right now, we want it to be known. We're very interested. We'll do what we can do to help, and we'll probably keep asking the question. Not to put everybody on the spot. Marie, what did you want to add?
No, I just want to quickly say that I think Nick's idea of it folding it into a comprehensive plan strikes me as the most straightforward path to reviving this.
It'll get done that way.
Absolutely. Just wanted to throw that, just to confer. I just wanted to concur. It
certainly sounds like a wise thing to investigate, you know, so, and also not something that we're going to be doing.
But we want to. One of the things that we recommend in our recommendations that we make for the comprehensive plan, one of them could be get this thing done.
Right. Okay. Okay, next on our list, actually, Britt has already addressed an outline for Parks Department and keeping up with the sidewalk upgrade and stormwater retention and bioswales. We do want to look at, I think this is a big one that we should probably take on. The code changes for sustainable building practices and stretch code.
Can I just quickly throw, again, this is why I asked about the comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. That if those are components of the comprehensive plan, then again, that would fall under CAC's remit when it comes to commenting on the comprehensive plan or reviewing the comprehensive plan, would be to ensure that those kinds of things are considered in that plan,
right?
Rather than a separate document. I don't know. I
well, it seems like the comprehensive plan can carry some of these things with it, and so why not?
Yeah,
I think so too. I think that then we really need to focus on if we're going to ask so much of this comprehensive plan, I do think that we should hone the list, or we should make a very thorough list and then start getting more specific within that list, because anybody can throw in the word stretch code in the middle of a comprehensive plan. That doesn't mean exactly what stretch code or, you know, what, you know, all, what all that entails. So I think we need to make a, just a second, Michael, I see you waving, a very thorough list and start getting down to details of what exactly we want. That way we have a better chance of getting exactly what we want. Okay. I'm sorry, Michael, yes?
Well, the comprehensive plan is a visioning document.
Mm-hmm.
These are the general directions we want to go, the principles we're operating under, and so forth. And things like the building code or the zoning code are tools of implementation. To embody what you said you wanted to have happen, well, here's the specifics of it. It's in this document. So the stretch code wouldn't be in the comprehensive plan, but the comprehensive plan would point to it, that we want to improve the effectiveness and efficiency of all of our buildings, and then that then provides the impetus for getting down to the brass tacks on examples like the stretch code and other ways in which to do that.
Right, right. It doesn't specify what codes are being stretched or...
Right, well, what result do you want? What's the effect you want on the city's built environment?
Right. Nathan wanted to say something.
Oh, I was just, like, I think how long... Basically, what Michael was just saying, that there's a set of stuff on the Clean Energy Communities program that, like, we could be laying out for the Common Council that they could adopt sort of in parallel with the vision stuff that they would probably also agree with in terms of the long-term stuff that would end up in a plan like that. And so I think that there's probably a number of, like, steps that we could sort of push on that would increase our ranking on those programs with the state and sort of make us more available for grant funding as a town. It probably would be of interest, I would imagine, to the council.
Well, one of the action items on the Climate Smart Communities is to include climate crisis issues in a revision of a municipality's comprehensive plan. So there is an outline if we, you know, if we want one. But, right, it's a very ambitious project. I mean, it might be outside of this group of volunteers.
I'm sorry, what's the ambitious project, Rich?
You know, it's not just a matter, it's like rewriting a comprehensive plan and including all the environmental and climate change issues into it. It's a lot.
It is a lot. It isn't something that the CAC would be doing, but I think that what I was getting at, we need to make a wish list of, or just a list of everything that we're, all the topics we want to make sure are covered, and from the CAC perspective, that absolutely have to be in a comprehensive plan going forward. But when it comes down to actually getting the stretch code that is right for the city of Hudson, as Michael was pointing out, and Nathan, that the comprehensive plan will just use those words, that the city believes in the, you know, stretch code and due to climate change and blah, 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 all of the right words, and setting it out as a vision. We still have to do the work of seeking out what, what codes we want to adopt. And there's plenty of other communities that have done it, and we can take from other communities that have done it and probably find something highly adoptable. Somebody else have their hand up? So I'm going to recirculate the list of things that I had started thinking about that we wanted to make sure would be included in a comprehensive plan. And I'm just asking that everybody help add to that list and get it back to me. Because, Tom, who's writing the RFP for the comprehensive plan, seeking a comprehensive plan writers?
That hasn't been determined yet, but it'll probably be Peter. I mean, it's not a complex document.
Okay.
The templates are pretty generic, actually.
So I guess what we'd do is we'd send our wish list to you and the Common Council and the mayor's office, and you will do with it what you think is appropriate, which might be to give it to somebody who's writing an RFP.
No, I think what I was trying to say earlier is that wait till we get to the second stage of selecting someone and determining what we want from our comprehensive plan. That's where you would submit what you want.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay.
We answer to the Common Council, so I'm just saying we present it to you and the mayor.
Sure.
That was just making sure. Okay. I guess I'm not speaking very clearly tonight. Sorry. the other thing that was on the list was youth and family outreach, education, and stewardship cultivating. I think that Vanessa's kind of getting that off to a good start. Was there anything else we wanted to talk about on that wavelength? Should we?
I have a very busy lifestyle, so I just want to be really realistic about what I can contribute bandwidth-wise here. Mm-hmm. And right now, I have a lot of time because I'm a gardener and it's winter. But come April to November, I'm going to be, my brain is going to be fried. So that's why I just want to be realistic. And I'm confident in my ability to do outreach and events and that stuff. But, you know, I don't want to do it alone. So I'm really excited that we have a little subcommittee to work on outreach. But that's kind of where I'm just going to stay if that's, that's just my capacity right now.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. For some reason, iTunes is interrupting my...
Yeah, I want to echo what Vanessa said, that we need to be realistic with our goals here in this group. I mean, if we can get a parks department and an Earth Day going and, you know, set realistic expectations. So, yeah.
Right. Well, I don't want to drop renewables. And so I know that I want to continue working on that.
You did already.
We also... I'm not quite sure where it was, and another one that I will keep going is the working with the CLC and the city about the CLC's North Bay Recreation Area plans. Yeah. See if that can be moved forward, or see what the next steps could be. Potentially be.
The next step is finding a couple $1 million.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we get that.
Okay.
I'm definitely interested in being on that one.
Like 2.5.
Okay, that's
great. I think the last estimate of their plan was $2.5 million.
Yep.
Now, I'm not quite sure. David and I communicated with Rebecca, or Rebecca communicated with us in the last week. I'm not quite sure where the
plastic flyer
is at this point. I think we wanted to tidy up some things that were some language before sharing it with everyone.
The idea is that okay, so we have this flyer that's going to present to restaurants and food shops, and you mentioned the idea of also adding caterer-only caterers to reduce or eliminate their use of plastic containers and move to recyclable or compostable biodegradable or compostable materials. And so we basically created that. We've gone back and forth with it. We have a design we like, and I think the only thing that we have left to do is to make a few additions. There's some missing information, and also, as you say, tighten up some of the language. And then I think, you know, within the next week or so, we're ready to share that with everybody. And then we should be able to get that going.
Is there a financial part? I mean, I understand, you know, for instance, everyone wants to move to, most people want to move to a compostable. Right. You know, we've had this conversation at the Hudson Farmers Market about not using plastics. Right. You know, the issue is usually just cost.
Right. Well, what we do is we basically recommend sources, and this stuff is easy to source. You can get it at Ginsburg's. There is some cost involved. We've discussed the idea of the businesses banding together to create some buying power, reduce costs that way. Were there any other thoughts on that you can remember, Hillary? I think that was one of the ideas we had. Is there a way to, you know, I don't know if we have the capacity to do that, but we can certainly lay out what the alternatives are, why it's important. I mean, one of the most amazing facts that come across in this piece that we're creating is the idea that of all these supposedly recyclable plastic that goes into the recycling stream, only 8% of it ever actually gets recycled, and the rest of it winds up in a developing country or in a landfill. So the idea of recycling plastic is kind of mythology. And it's highly damaging. I think we can address sourcing. I don't think unless there's something like a buying club with the city's businesses, I don't know how much of an impact there can be on cost to the business. And I don't even know what the price differential is between, you know, getting the plastic and getting stuff that's biodegradable and compostable. I know we have some business in the city that are already on that. We had an exchange about that today, Hillary, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like, I know Kitty's has a whole system of using compostable and having a processor.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, yeah, they have somebody that hauls away their compostables because they use a certain kind of compostable that not backyard compost. But Michael O'Hara has something to add too.
That's the key word, system. Because even if your restaurant is totally equipped with the best of compostable tableware, if they aren't hooked up with a system like the one that Hillary mentioned, then it goes into the regular waste stream. It's treated in no way different than all of the rest of the stuff that gets tossed in the trash. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the other way we might be helpful is introducing vendors to the rest of the system. If they want to participate in with sourcing of the materials, we'll help them figure out where to send it after they've been used.
Well, there are two thoughts about that. One is we're also talking about within the waste stream, winding up with stuff that's biodegradable as opposed to plastics that aren't. I mean, it's not great, it's better. The other thing is that when you have when you have to use a system like that, like if you go to Kitty's, I know they send their takeout in mostly paper materials. It's not that compostable system, but it has to be a business where stuff is handed out and consumed on site and disposed of on site, because if you're just sending stuff out into the world as takeout, then you can't collect. So right. it can only be a very specific kind of business where things are consumed on site.
Yep. Good. So it's a difficult problem that a lot of people are working on.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa wanted to add something.
I think this is a really interesting idea for a workshop or an info table at the Earth Festival that'll happen. I don't know. I think that I do a lot of recycling. I am one of these people who has way too many like yogurt containers in my garage right now, because I'm gonna put some holes in them and plant some pots, you know, of like herbs. So on that note, please, everyone, save your recyclables, because if we are going to do this whole little seed workshop thing, I need your yogurt containers. But anyway, just not to digress, but just thinking about recyclables, you know, I have a number of friends who will bring their own Tupperware containers to restaurants if they know that they are the leftover type of person. So I think there's something interesting to educating the public about this too, who might not know that this is a thing that's happening, but public pressure, you know, from the consumer, you know, to the restaurant, oh, you don't have biodegradable, why don't you have biodegradable this? And then they hear it enough and maybe they get the pressure to make the switch. Who knows?
I don't know. The idea of bringing your own containers and saying, fill this container instead of them giving you new ones, which is another thing, actually.
I mean, the little Tupperwares that are like nice from the Chinese food places, I make little greenhouses out of them. You know, like I have things propagating right now and like a bunch of them. So, you know, anyway, sorry. Yeah.
I think that one of the key things that we wanted to address in the beginning, I think that part of Rebecca's, and Rebecca, you can chime in if you wish, Rebecca's motivation was especially during COVID that there was so much takeout being done, and there is that we have such a large tourist trade that if at least half of the containers that were going into our city garbage were at least biodegradable instead of plastic. Because that's that plastic, even if they're using what's called recyclable, that'll never see recycling, or right. very little of it ever does. It was actually going into our city garbage containers and straight to the landfill, no matter what. So this was, you know, part of wanting to, at least if it's in the garbage, it's got to be biodegradable.
I would suggest this become another subcommittee if people are very passionate about it, where it can go off, put together a plan of action, talk to local businesses, see what they want to do, and then, you know, come back to this group.
I think that sounds good. But I think that Vanessa can't go into another subcommittee. I think that Rebecca is interested in pushing this forward. I know I'm interested, but my plate is full with with solar and CLC and stuff and parks. So it sounds like in the next week or so we'll see a proof on that, or not a proof, not a printer's proof.
Yeah, like a draft for everybody to see. I mean, I think it's still worthwhile to, I mean, basically our goal with this flyer is just to alert businesses that there are alternatives. You can source them, that they're better for the environment, they're better for warming, they're, you know, they're better on a number of different levels, and you should make the switch if you can. And that's the purpose of it. It's not more ambitious than that, but the idea of creating a committee that can talk about, you know, how can businesses get together and address this, that's another thing. I mean, somewhere I might be able to find another hour or two a week to put towards something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's totally worth pursuing. But again, it's another example of engagement, of just engaging the community. In this case, you know, the business restaurant, food shop business, and seeing what we can do to help push people in the right direction, or, you know, pull together to start taking this problem seriously.
Vanessa? Oh, your hand's still up. I don't know how to undo people's hands. So there's one other thing on the list. Well, you know, there's two other things. Is there somebody who, Rich, you were talking about this? I'm not asking you specifically, but is there a place where we can collect all sorts of the information that residents need for figuring out if solar is right for themselves on their own home here in Hudson? Is there a way of collecting some documents on that, and maybe Nathan knows about this too, that we could post the links on our CAC page and start getting information out for residents?
I don't know of anything beyond the solar permit that we have with the city right okay. now. But this would be something for, if we're going to do Earth Day, you know, you just reach out to local solar companies and have them be a table at Earth Day. And then they can educate people.
Okay. So if anybody has ideas on how we can, of things that we can provide to residents that would help them in making these decisions and looking at options for renewables, or if anybody knows how to navigate or have recommendations on navigating community solar that's being offered, that would be very helpful. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, and David and Rich and I were on a meeting this week with Susan Danziger from Spark of Hudson, and Spark Hudson wants to initiate, or they want to initiate a community solar program, not necessarily through the city and not necessarily through the CAC, but they're letting it be known that they would like to start this solar project. We talked with Susan about the concept for about an hour yesterday, and Spark Hudson is looking for somebody who would want to take this on as a project, and they're looking for David and Rich, you can jump in here anytime to clarify what I'm speaking.
Yeah, I mean, they're seeking to create a large or relatively large scale rooftop solar mm-hmm. installations on private businesses with big roofs.
Right.
And what they would like to do is initiate a pilot project where you find somebody who owns a big building in the city of Hudson wants to do this. As kind of like a demonstration project, how it might work for other large businesses or businesses that have buildings with large flat roofs, which we have a number in Hudson, not a huge number, but some. And I think that's what Susan seemed to be saying her interest mm-hmm. was.
And what they want to do is they want to find a person that would take this project and run with it. As she says, from cradle to grave, not that there's a grave at the end, that would basically make a contact with somebody that might have a property and would figure out what that business relationship would be with them and how to offer it as community solar. And Tom DiPietro wants to...
I think you might be leaving out one important aspect. They will pay mm-hmm. for this person. They will pay this person.
Yes. Well, yeah, that was one of our specific questions. Is this intended as a volunteer or are you planning to pay somebody? And they seem to be interested in funding that.
You know what?
They are.
She didn't really say that. I don't think we should.
Well, I asked
her. Oh, no, she has to me. She has to me.
Yeah, oh, and she has said it to me, too. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I said, yeah. Right.
But it's not on the salary of Spark Hudson.
She's so not tracked a little bit.
Setting up they'll help fund this to make this happen. So if this is of Tom.
Sorry. I just wanted to say, I have to go, but I just wanted to point out you have. I'm sorry for interrupting, but there are now four members of the council here tonight. Earlier there were five. So you're talking about communication with the council. Right. We're here. Okay. But good night. Thank you.
I gotta go. It's great. I gotta go. And I should have acknowledged that earlier. Thank you for being here.